Welcome to Logan City Christian Church podcast, where we bring God's word to you weekly. We pray that what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
God is good all the time. You know, this morning I'm just going to go straight into it because I have a message that I believe, maybe not all of us, but some of us at least, you're going to experience a release of freedom, without a doubt, because I'm going to speak about faith, but what genuine faith is. And I know when I got saved and I was in a faith church and, you know, that emphasized on faith, and for a long time I didn't feel that I fit or I was different because I just didn't seem to have the kind of faith that was expected of me to, I don't know, to be a Christian. So we grow with these things and we think, well, I'll just accept that. And maybe one day I'll be able to have enough faith that I can be equal to everybody and that sort of thing. And so we end up doing things like trying to be like other people instead of being ourselves. And then years later, I began to do a study on what faith is, and I was liberated. I was totally set free because what I was taught, what faith is, was totally different to what I was learning. And so today, I just know, I have such a joy in my heart knowing that some of us here today are going to experience what I experienced a number of years ago. It's just like, oh, praise God, I am normal. Well, as normal as can be. Talk to Chantel about that one. But I'm first going to explain what faith is, then how faith works, God's way, and then how we use it and how we apply it. Amen? So I'm going to speak on what is faith, how it works, God's way, and how we apply it. And it's not hard. Everything that God does is easy. He shows us. We don't need to have a university degree to know the ways of God or the ways of the Spirit. We need an open heart. University degrees are good. I got one off the back of a cornflakes packet, and one day I might use it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And it reads here, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Please God. It's impossible. Did you know that without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God? You want to please God? I know I want to please God. I'm sure all of us want to please God. And the scripture here is saying that if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so that's where I used to get hooked up years ago because I didn't understand what it meant, what it was saying. So I had a number of years as a Christian thinking that because by grading comparing my walk as a Christian with others, that I didn't have faith and therefore I'm not pleasing God like I should or could. And it became bondage to me. And I believe today the message is going to anybody feels the same way like I did, you're going to be liberated today in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So faith is an important thing. You know, for us to be able to please God, we need to have faith. To be overcomers in this world, we need to have faith. So I would say that faith is an important part of our Christian makeup. So then we need then to understand what faith really is. And so what is faith? What does it mean? As I said, some of this may come as a surprise to some of us here today, and so be it. Praise the Lord. So, what is faith? Faith, the word faith in the Greek is the... I'm not a Greek scholar. You'd have to ask Theo for more depth than that. But the Greek word is pistis, which means, this is faith, persuasion, to be persuaded, to trust, and an inner convincing. An inner convincing. Faith, listen to this, faith is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. When I read that, this is straight out of a commentary, and then I went to the concordance and it says exactly the same thing. And so I went on a journey searching to make sure that what I was reading was accurate. And then as we follow it through with examples we've been given in Scripture, we see clearly that what is said is absolutely true, that faith is always a gift from God, and it's not something that we can conjure up. So that statement in itself began to liberate me to think, well, you know what? Well, maybe I was a little bit more normal than I thought in those days. And how we can build, you know, this esteem to try and match others. And, you know, when it comes to esteem, self-esteem and self-worth, we don't need to listen to a motivational speaker to let you know how good you are. And, you know, what we need to understand is that we have, in Christ, redeemed self-esteem. We have redeemed self-worth. And that through the cross of Calvary, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so our esteem that may have been low before we were saved, now has been redeemed by God and it's been empowered by the Spirit of God, and we are a new creation in God through Christ Jesus. And so therefore, the old person no longer is there. There's a new creation. And in that new creation is a person with God-centered self-esteem, self-worth. You being a Christian, me being a Christian, there is no greater value of your self-worth than being a Christian, being in the family of God. God highly values you through what His Son did for us. And so for a believer, or faith for the believer, is God's divine persuasion. It's God's. And therefore, it's distinct from human belief. Now, you might be thinking, hang on a minute, Rob. You're crossing the boundary here. But listen on. Let me say that statement again. For the believer, faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion, therefore distinct from human belief, but yet human belief is part of a process in it. Amen. So faith is God's warranty. It's God certifying that the revelation or the promise that He inbirthed in you, the very reality of the what He inbirthed in you, will come to pass if we believe. This is where we're heading this morning. So His divine persuasion. So God's warranty, He's certifying that the revelation or what God may be speaking to you or what you may read in the Word of God, God is saying to us today that that revelation, somehow He inbirths it into our spirit. I'm going to talk about that later. So then, God's revelation is not just information for us, it becomes an empowering moment in our lives. Faith is always received from God and never generated by man. Folks, this was incredibly liberating for me a number of years ago. Faith is always received from God and never generated by us or by man. So, Scripture says that how God has dealt with all a measure of faith. You notice that the initiator is God, and he's given and birthed into every human being a measure of faith. And if they, we did, when we heard the gospel and we realized the way, the truth, and the life in Christ, and that measure of faith that we had, that we knew that this is the right way, and when our believing is mixed with that faith, with that inner persuasion, the greatest miracle happened to every human being that has ever been born again, and that is salvation. Salvation is a miracle wrought by God, paid at the cross of Calvary for every human being. There are times in life, I am certain, especially with me, we may seek God for direction. You seeking God for direction now in your life? Is there anybody here you're looking for, you know, Lord, what do I do? You ever prayed that? Lord, what do I do? I don't know which way to go. I just seem, there are so many options, but not all of them can be right. And so we can search His Word and ask God for direction and ask God to show us. But either way, when direction does come, whether God speaks directly into your spirit or we read in the Word of God that this is God's way, how He is wanting to lead us, by His written Word or His voice, an inner confidence begins to arise in our spirit. It's a word of God and not of ourself. So God initiated it. So let's look at the setting again. I am believing God, let's say, for X, Y, Z, or Lord, which way do I go? And I have prayed, we've prayed, and we said, Lord, which way do I go? Now God may speak directly into your spirit, and when He does, you know it. And when He speaks into your heart, into your spirit, man, you know, like you know, like you know, like you know that God spoke into your spirit and you know that's the right way to go. But right there at that point, or we may read the Word of God and it's given us clear direction, right there it's really confirmed. There's an inner convincing, a guarantee. And so I know that that's God and I know God's leading me that way. So we have a decision to make. We can mix faith with that, believe that, and see the results, or we can allow unbelief to dissolve the whole process. And this is why unbelief is so destructive to the Christian person. So I believe where things can go wrong, in the case of a person desiring something, let's say outside of the will of God, praying and believing God and saying, I've got to have more faith, I've got to have more faith, and believing for something that whether it's in the will of God or not, I think what can happen is, and where I was for some time, I would read the Word and I would say, well, there's the evidence, so I would start believing, but never took the time to allow the Word to do its work in my spirit so that what I was reading, understanding that this is a promise from God, and then read it over and over and speak it and hear myself speaking it to a point that something changes, that the promises of God come into agreement with me, my spirit being, my person. And when I and we come into agreement and understand, okay, now I understand that scripture. Now I know, like I know, God, I feel it. I read your scripture before. I read your promise before. But after a few days of going over it and meditating on it over and over again, now there's this confidence that this scripture is building in my spirit and will build in our spirit, that we know, like we know, like we know, like we know, this is it. So then we are faced with the decision to make a choice. Do I believe God in this? Or do I say, oh, it happens for other people, it can't happen for me? And unbelief will totally dissolve that. And so faith is something that God births. And for years I was like, how come I don't have faith like others? And now I understand that God has given each and every one of us a measure of faith, but he also expects us to cry out to God, to call out to him, to ask him when we're in a time of need or in a time of lack, whether there will be a family crisis, a relationship crisis, a healing needed, whatever it might be, is that we then cry out to God and say, God, I'm leaning on you. God, show me your promises. I need to hear from you. I need some substance from you into my spirit so that I can latch onto that and agree with that and believe for this miracle to take place. And this happens, it can be the rhema word of God where God speaks to us, or the word can jump out and, impact us so greatly. Either way, whichever way God does it, it's coming from God. It's not us generating it. Our part is to do the believing. God's part is to impart faith. We'll get there in a minute. I can see some of them going, I'm not getting it. We'll keep going. Praise the Lord. I believe it can be a discouraging moment if we are believing God for a breakthrough of any kind, and we can be, see, I got a scripture, I know what God's word says, I can even quote it off by heart, and years later, nothing's happening. My question to all of us, starting with me today, the scripture you may be reading, has it birthed a spark inside of your spirit? Has it come alive? Has it brought something alive in you that it's compelling, that it's convincing you this is the truth? And when we get hold of that truth and we go, this is faith that God has imparted into my spirit, and when I believe in agreement with that impartation, with that impression from God, that there, when I believe with God, and that I will see a breakthrough take place. Are you still with me? What about the other half? We all still together this morning. But if we are lacking a divine inner persuasion in our prayer or in our belief that God, I need a breakthrough, are you going through a crisis now? I hope you're not. But if you are you believing God for a breakthrough in your life? And we may be praying, we may be reading the word, but let me ask you this, saints of God, is there an inner conviction? Is there an inner persuasion that God, that God is saying to you, this is the way to go. You know it like you know it like you know it like you know it. If you don't have that, we need to get it. Are you with me? And when we get it, which is not hard to get, God's freely giving it all the time. When we get that inner persuasion that this God spoke to me, and I know it's going to happen, and I believe it, I embrace it, and then we begin to speak it, God begins to move. Faith involves an inner persuasion. An inner persuading against what we may see, hear, or feel in this world. I've seen it happen with a crippled man. I've seen it with people that have been so sick that the revelation came that Christ is the healer. And they meditated on that over and over. And toward the end, you go and visit them again. You can see it in their eyes. They're going, I had an encounter with God, and I now know, like I know, that God is more real than ever. And I know in here, I don't know how I can tell you, but Christ will heal me. And their confession changes. Well, let's believe together, and we pray together and believe God according to that inner persuasion, that faith that God birthed in them to get them through. And the miracles that happen. You see, we need to have that inner persuasion, that faith, that knowing that God's spoken or His word. We need that evidence, that divine evidence in our spirit man, that any person that would try and talk you out of what you now believe, it will not have a chance. They don't have a hope. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Is there anyone here feeling like, oh, I'm getting this? It's a lot easier than having to try and you know, like wring out a towel, the last drop, to see if there's something for me. It becomes this thing like works and faith. It's anyway. Have you ever heard it said that faith is a risk? I've never understood that. And I'll explain why. I think we can mix up. I mean, I've got it wrong before, let me tell you. I have not had this nailed flat at all my life, Christian life. But I've noticed some things, and I've reflected back in my own life, because I used to listen to this, faith is a risk, and I think if it's a risk, then why would you step out? So rather than condemning anything, I'd rather just like, well, I'm not understanding it, I'll just keep going until I do understand it. And I think that's, whether that's right or wrong, I really don't know, but that's what I did until the revelation came about faith. You know, I remember Pastor Clark when, you know, you all know the story about COC when they bought the land, it was $11 million and he got it for $3 million and he had $2,000 on a credit card. And he spoke and he shared it with this many people. He said, yeah, but I had a convincing, I had a knowing. I didn't know how, but I knew it was right. He said, even though I walked the floors, you've heard it, at night and praying, God provide this and that and the other, and which God did. But something that stood out to me is what he said. But God gave me, he gave me something. And I hung on to that. Now, I believe in this room this morning and those watching online that over the years, God's given you some substance, some evidence to believe and to come in agreement with God's word or his direction in our life. And maybe we have followed it and seen and experienced great breakthrough. Maybe we haven't. It's irrelevant now. We're speaking about today. Because I believe today, when we leave this place, that many of us, if not all of us, are going to get hold of this and go, devil, you better look out. You're in trouble. Because revelation really liberates. Praise the Lord. So how does this faith is a risk thing, where did it come from? I believe what's happened, which I had done in the early stages of ministry, mixing faith and belief. And so I would believe God for something without the substance. That's risk. That's risky. Because if I'm believing something that I believe that we may need for ministry and God hasn't given me that inner persuasion, that in-birth confidence, and yet I go past that very vital, important part, that I begin to go out on my own without that inner confidence and I start believing God for whatever it might be, that's risky. But when God inbirths faith into you and into me, and we know like we know like we know, and we believe, that is not risky. Because God doesn't need to take risks. You hear what I'm saying. So believing without true faith or without divine inner persuasion, I believe, can be a risk. With genuine faith, there is no strain or tension. I'll just let that sink for a little bit. With this genuine faith, there's no strain or tension. Rather, it has the element of assurance and confidence, because that's what God inbirths into us, a confidence. And this is what it is saying in Hebrews 6, about without faith, it's speaking about this kind. It's impossible to please God. Without knowing that I need to be close enough with, we need to be close enough with God and understand that God will give us an inner persuasion, a faith that will get us through whatever. And if we acknowledge that and we believe it, God's saying that pleases him. You see the difference? That's the difference. And so this faith that overcomes the world, that's what the Bible's speaking about in 1 John 5. That our faith, not our belief, our faith. Now, why does it say our faith if faith comes from God? I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. So, regarding faith, just let me say it again. If there is strain or tension or trying to persuade ourselves to keep from doubting, you can be quite sure it's probably not faith. But when we get that inner convincing, that substance in our spirit, and we know it, and God gives us that inner guarantee that we're on the right path, doesn't mean we're there yet. But when we believe this, miracles happen. Breakthrough happens. Jesus said, all things are possible to them who believe. So our part is the believing. God will impart the faith, but we have to position ourselves for this to happen. Amen. Faith is not the law of mathematical probability. It doesn't work like that. Faith is not natural. It is certainly not natural. Faith is spiritual. It's a gift from God. And so the natural mind probably will never understand it. But as spirit people, we know the ways of the Spirit as we grow in the things of God. You know it, you feel it. And so we cannot command faith at will. And this was what I was trying to do and what I was taught. And when it wouldn't work, I would feel that much less of a believer and really reluctant to ever try again. Faith is always something that is given. It's inwrought by God. It's liberating. It is liberating. Now, I know there may be some thoughts or some scriptures you might be thinking, what about this? What about that? We'll get to that in just a moment. I'm laying a foundation here that I really believe that God wants us to know this for sure, that faith is something that He provides, something that He instills into us. It comes from God. It comes from God. And I had it back to front. I thought that I had to conjure it up. I thought that I had to pray more and read more and do that. And that are all good things. It's not so much that it's incorrect, it's incomplete. And so the scripture says that the just shall live by this kind of faith. That it's God knowing, God, I'm going through a test or a trial, and I don't have the confidence that I need. Father God, would you show me, would you speak to me? I need some substance to believe. And as we read the Word and God may speak to you and the Word of God becomes clear and we meditate on it, and then bit by bit this substance starts building in our lives, and to the end that we stand strong and firm and go, God has spoken. God has spoken. And I believe it. And together, God and us walk in victory. And so in Scripture, faith and belief are not exactly the same. That was a main revelation for me. Faith always comes from God, involves His revelation. Therefore, faith is beyond belief. It is. Anyway, let me go on. If I'm going too fast, can someone just wave their hand and just say, hey, slow it down? People on the sound desk are going, praise the Lord. Faith is God's work. Faith is never the work of people. That shocked me. And I'm going to explain this more deeply as we go on, as I close the meeting. We cannot produce faith from within ourselves, nor can we drum it up at will. Faith comes as Christ will speak his rhema word within, or through his word within. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, faith comes by hearing. Are we listening today? What the message is today? Are we listening? Because I tell you, when we listen and are open to the Spirit of God or to the Word of God, it will transform our lives. I believe an important part of being taught is to be teachable and to listen to what the Spirit of God may be saying. But then when faith comes, so that's saying that in the construction of the sentence, so then faith comes, it's speaking in context to the person or the person that is desiring it does not yet have that, what they need to get through. And so the writer, Paul, is saying, let me give you a key here. The faith that you need, it will come. That substance, that inner convincing that you need to get through, it will come, but you need to be hearing and hearing the word of God, whether it be his audible voice or whether it be us speaking out the word, or maybe even today, you're hearing the word being preached and you're hearing God's word creating substance in your spirit to the point that now you're probably saying things like, now I get this thing. Now I get it. Now I get it. Faith is always a response to divine revelation. Faith, both in its initiation and every step of the way, is Spirit-given. Faith is God-given. I need to really emphasize this. Faith is the divinely given conviction of things unseen. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 to 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Do you see how this works? Faith is the substance. So faith is a substance. God's inner persuasion in our spirit man is a substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it's also evidence of things not yet seen. You know that faith, when God births it in your spirit, it's evidence of things you're not seeing yet, but you know, whether it's later in the day or tomorrow or next week, you know it's happening. You know it's coming. You know it's going to happen because God imbirthed that in you. It is substance. It's evidence. And from that, we believe and move with God in these things. Faith is not a condition of mind. It's a divinely imparted grace to the heart. We can receive faith only as God gives it. Genuine scriptural faith is not our ability to count it done. Let me read this. Genuine scriptural faith is not our ability to count it done, but is the deep consciousness divinely imparted to the heart of man that it is done. There is a big difference. It is the faith that only God can give. True faith is not a struggle in the power of one's will. It's not. And here's a quote that I don't know who I got it from. I found it in my notes. What a mistake it would be to take our belief in God and call it faith. I'm not speaking about salvation. I'm believing God for something. Because believing without the substance, it's not going to work. So The challenge is, so what about when Jesus said to some of the people that were healed, he said, your faith made you well. Remember that? So how does that fit in everything here? The answer, I'm just going to read this because I wrote it down very carefully. The Greek definite article is uniformly used in the expressions your faith and their faith, which occur over 30 times in the Greek in the New Testament. However, this refers to the principle of faith operating in or at work in you, not your faith. Does that make sense? It refers to the principle of faith operating in or at work in you, but not your faith, in the sense that faith is ever generated by the recipient. It's not. We don't. I think you got it. Faith involves belief. I'm going to give a few examples in a moment, then we'll close. Faith involves belief, but it goes beyond believing because it involves the personal revelation or the inworking of God. Faith is always God's work. Amen. So faith and belief are two separate things, yet they work together. Faith is inspired, God-inspired, and faith is God's persuasion birthed in our spirit. You're thinking, okay, I'm getting it. Good. I don't know about you, but I need repetition to be able to catch these things. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need repetition to catch these things. Just checking if you're still awake this morning. We recognize this impression and inner persuasion when we can do one of two things. We can believe and act on it, or allow unbelief to override the divine inner persuasion. That's tragic. But it's good when we believe. Let's have some examples here this morning. So let's say that there are some of us here that are believing God for salvation for family members, or some that have gone away from God, prodigal living, being deceived and believing a false Christian life, if you like, or whatever that may be. So if we're going to be believing God and trusting God for them to A, be saved and truly come to Christ, or for them to turn around from whatever they're involved in to come back to Christ, it's one thing, and it's not wrong to pray, God, I pray for this person, Lord, that you would bring them back and that you would do this and you would do that, or I pray for their salvation. I mean, that's, as I said, it's not incorrect, it's really incomplete. So what we need to do, we need to gather some substance, some deep substance that we can take hold of and speak it and believe it and meditate on it. And for me personally, I don't really do much praying at all until I feel that conviction, that inner persuasion, that it's become so alive, then I will pray. And so here's an example. I use these two scriptures a lot. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So would you say then that God is in agreement with our heart for whoever that person may be? I would say absolutely yes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I just use two scriptures, sometimes more with different situations, that I won't begin to pray until such time that I am utterly convinced, totally, totally, if you like, saturated with the revelation, this is the will of God for the person that I'm believing for. And keep reading it. There are times that I have read and meditated on these things for weeks. And it's just like you're hitting a brick wall. And then it just seems like one day, it's like the veil is pulled back and this revelation comes, this inner convincing comes, yeah, I got it. God wants this more than I do. And we're on the same team. We're in agreement together. And somehow, God, when we believe His word, when we really believe it, that there God begins to trickle in this inner convincing, this substance, this guarantee in our spirit. And then when we pray from that position that we now have substance when we begin to pray, oh boy, does that shake the heavens and the earth? Absolutely, yes. Because your will, my belief is lined up and in agreement with God's will. And the words that we speak there carry power, carry authority. And we see things happen. And God's not willing that any would perish. So do you have a loved one perishing right now? I encourage you. Do this. You will see change. Not yet saved or deceived or walking in a false Christianity, as I said, or deception, or whatever it might be, walked away from God. I don't think it really matters to God what it is. I just know God, whatever it is, if we wait on God and really be patient, He will imbirth in you that faith, that substance, that inner convincing that you need, the substance that we get hold of, and from that position that we begin to pray and believe, oh boy, you begin to see things change. We do. But we first need that inner convincing. That is faith. It was given by God. We positioned ourselves to receive it, but God gave it. Is that making sense this morning? Trying to believe in a promise with the absence of divine in-birth persuasion is not really true faith. So what do we do? As I said, we meditate on the Scripture, on God's promises. We read it, we speak it out aloud over and again. And when it becomes alive in your spirit, it's like a divine spark just lights you up inside. Something changes inside of you. Something changes inside of us. It's God has just touched that place in your life, in your spirit, that from hope, it's just like, I have this, I can take this to the bank, as we say, and it's good. There's no fault in what God is doing. I have substance that I can stand from this position and pray, because I know, this is God. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's this kind of faith that moves mountains. It's this kind of faith that says, pleases God. It's this kind of faith that overcomes the world. It's this kind of faith. It's simple. To me, it's just like, I'm a mechanic and I can do this. Not saying mechanics are dumb, because there's a lot of us in this church. I think there's about 7 retired, burnt out mechanics in this place. Or 11, sorry. So we're not dumb, are we, guys? Well, one of them's a girl too. We're not dumb. We're just different. Praise the Lord. What about healing? 1 Peter 2:24. See, we need some substance. We need substance. We need a guarantee. We got to get that first. And when we get it, then we begin to pray. That's when things change. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Do we believe it? It's spiritual, physical, emotional healing. You see, we can quote Scripture. But has that Scripture created an assurance inside of us? Is there solid substance that it's created? And if it hasn't, keep working on that. That's where our victory is. That's where it's at. And when God begins to flow that into your spirit, and then we agree with it, and we believe it, and we begin to speak it, act on it, my Lord, the things that God will do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Mark 11:22. I'm going to close in a second. Some of you are saying, I've known you for over 20 years. You are not closing in a second. I'm nearly done, guys. This is an incredible passage of Scripture that I'm sure all of us know very, very well. And I'd like to just make reference to things for sake of time without actually reading all of it, but it's important that I should, but I just don't have time, but you'll hear where I'm going with it. You see, Jesus went and healed blind Bartimaeus, and there's wonderful things happening, and then he comes in riding on a donkey, and people are celebrating him and just saying, wow, here comes the Savior of the world. And, excuse me, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Everything's going really, really good. And it says when Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple, and he looked around at all the things as the hour was already late, and he went to Bethany with the 12. So Jesus went to the temple, and he looked around, and he just thought, look at what they are doing here. We see it later. It says they're buying and selling. There was thievery. There was just corruption. People taking a shortcut through the temple to get to the Mount of Olives and all this. There was just no respect for the house of God. And so what happened was, on the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, it says Jesus was hungry. And so, you know, seeing a fig tree a fair way away, and it said having leaves, he went to see perhaps there would be something to find on it, something that he could eat. And from my understanding, the fig tree produces the fruit first and the leaves come after to protect the fruit. So the sign is that if it's got leaves, it should have fruit. And Jesus goes there and he looks at it and there's no fruit. And remembering the day before that he went to the temple, and the fig tree is a type of the temple of the church, of the religion of that day, and that he was seeing it's just the same. Here is the religious order. It's not producing any godly fruit. It's showing all the leaves that it got everything. It's got God, got everything, but inside there's no fruit. And so when Jesus then sees that fig tree, he cursed the fig tree. And then he moved on. And he went on. And then he goes and pays a visit to the temple, and he really tells them what's up, what's wrong, and that sort of thing. So what happened is Jesus said, never let anyone eat fruit from you again. This is what he says to the tree. And off they go. The next morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remember, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus said something really amazing here. He said, have faith in God. That's what he's saying. Make sure before you go and, you know, pray, believe, whatever it is, make sure you have that inner convincing first. You see, Jesus, he cursed the fig tree and kept going. He didn't go half an hour and come back with a spade or shovel and dig to see, oh, is it withering yet? Maybe I need to do it again. You know, and then he didn't come back that night and dig around and go, geez, I hope it's working. He didn't do that. He walked up to it. He saw it. He spoke to it. He said, let no one ever eat fruit from you again. And that tree died from the roots up. Jesus never went back to check. He knew that that tree was going to die. He didn't keep going back and checking on it. The disciples are going, gee, Lord, what have you done? What have you done? Jesus said, have faith in God. Get that inner persuasion inside you. Now, I'm not saying or suggesting that you go home and you see your neighbor's favorite plants and vegetables and that and start cursing them so they all die. I'm not suggesting that. But there are other things in life that, you know. But the scripture says that have faith in God. If you have this faith in God, the one that I'm speaking about, you get this inner persuasion, you believe God, and then you work with that. For Jesus said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, are we speaking to the problems in life? If we are, what are we saying to them? be removed and cast into the sea. Now, this is a person, typically speaking, already possessing the in-birth faith, the confidence, this assurance, this knowing that God has already inbuilt in birth this faith in me. And from that position, now I'm saying to the problem, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. In other words, that you agree with that inner persuasion from God, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. You cannot exclude verse 25 and 26. Unforgiveness is something that needs to be dealt with. I will mention it briefly, but it does. Jesus said, if there's unforgiveness, it ain't going to work. But I just want to close on this one thing. With Joshua. To me, this is incredible. Joshua chapter 6, the walls of Jericho. Now, you and I would, I'm sure we would agree together to say that that was a very strong, fortified city that no one could get in. When the gates are shut, that's it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Nobody ever did before. But God's people come along. They cross the Jordan. And the first challenge that they are faced with is the biggest stronghold. How typical, how God works. And God gave Joshua a promise. He said, Joshua, I've given you this land, and you need to take it. And you're going to go to Jericho, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to get the priests, and you're going to get your soldiers, and you're going to walk around the perimeter of those walls, 7 days, and the first day you walk around once. Now, none of you can say a word. None. Joshua thought, wow. He said, then the second day you do the same, third day the same, right up, the sixth day to the same. You just march around, don't say a word, go back to your camp. On the seventh day, he said, Joshua, it's going to be different. You march around that wall 7 times, and on the seventh time, on the seventh day, you, the priests, and everybody, the priests are going to blast the trumpet, and everybody's going to shout, and the walls are going to fall flat. You remember the story? Yeah. Here's the thing. We know it happened. See, Joshua had substance, he had faith, he had direction from God, and he followed it. I mean, it was the most unnatural thing to do. How can a wall, how can walls, they say it didn't so much fall flat, it was pressed into the ground. That's what I've understood. How does that happen? God can do anything. When there are walls that are hedging you in and walls of containment in your life, that maybe people have put there from previous relationships, whatever. Have faith in God. God will show you a way how those walls can come down. But we need to give him the time and the place to do this. But here's, as I close, here is the whole thing in the end. Why couldn't they have just done the seventh day? Walk around 7 times and then shout. In 6 days, we could have had hot dogs and sauerkraut and, you know, have a good time. You see, the first day they walked around was equally as important as the last march when they blew the trumpets. You see, God began to do something on the first day that they agreed that they would go out. So their first, as they took their first step out to march on that first day, God was starting to do something. And I believe that when we have that inner persuasion and we step out and believe God, God starts to do something straight away. I don't think he waits for 1 second. And then on the second day was equally as important as the seventh as the first. And our faith in God, the faith that the belief that we have in the faith God's imparted into us, even though we do not see any evidence in what we are doing, we don't see it, But when God imbibes faith into you, you feel it. You know it. You know like you know that God is up to something here. Then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth day, and the walls came down. I want to encourage you with this as I close right now. Just because we may not see things happen straight away doesn't mean God's not working. He's working. Get that inner persuasion, that faith that God gives to man, that we can't drum it up ourselves. We position ourselves for it through the Word of God, through the spoken Word of God, whatever, how God ministers to us. And when we get it, and then listen to it and speak it and over until it becomes alive in us, and that divine spark sets us alight inside, that we walk away going, man, this is it. I know this is going, I know God has spoken. I know this is the end result even before we start. I know it. And I believe it. And we step out. Start marching in the spirit, if you like, around those walls that have held you from prospering so long. See them come down in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at LoganCityChristianChurch.com. See you next week.